ധ്യാമോദ്ലാവഗുണ്ടനവതീം തേജോമയീഷ്ടിക്കീം സ്നിഗ്ധാപാംഗവിലോകിനീം ഭഗവതീം മന്ദസ്മിതശ്രീമുഖീം വാത്സല്യാമൃതവർഷിണീം സുമധുരം സങ്കീർത്തനാലാപിനീം ശ്യാമാംഗീ മധുസിക്തസൂക്തിം അമൃതാനന്ദാത്മികാമീശ്വരീം. So in the last day we saw the first three sutras of Narada Bhakti Sutra, where Narada spoke about bhakti as supreme love towards Ishvara, and which is of the nature of immortality as well. So we also saw as to how bhakti as well as knowledge both are the same, they are not different. So what is bhakti? So just to recap again, bhakti is supreme love towards Ishvara, and therefore bhakti is immortal in nature or immortality in nature. So bhakti, supreme love, like we also discussed as to supreme love means when we merge onto Ishvara, wherever there is dvaita bhavam, there is none, that's not pure love, that's not supreme love. So that's why Amma always says that two people say I love you, so that I love you is not true love, it's not supreme love. True love is when a person says I am love. So that's why Amma always starts her discourse by telling that I bow down to my children who are of the nature of love and supreme consciousness. So love, real love or supreme love, or we can say love becomes complete when a person merges on to the object of love. Of course, in worldly cases, when a person really becomes or loves a person too much, that is called obsession. And when a person becomes obsessed with another person, then it's not exactly love. It can lead to other things. It can lead to crazy actions. But that is because, why is it that way? That is because in that love, the love where a person is loving an external object, that like a person cannot merge onto an external object. So I cannot become something that I am not. So if I try to become Shakuntala Devi, I cannot become. If I try to become Michael Schumacher or Sachin Tendulkar, it's impossible. Certain things are possible in the world, certain things are impossible. So the first rule in Vedanta is a person cannot become that which he is not. So I cannot become something else. Of course, I can become something else. I can become, maybe I can become Krishna. So I can become Krishna. How do I become Krishna? I get myself into a delusion or into an illusion that I am Krishna. And such people are called mental people or mad people. So therefore, supreme love is when a person merges onto the object. So that object has to be our own nature if supreme love has to be fulfilled, or supreme love has to be there. So all other love that we find in the world, even the love between a mother and a child, is also something which is limited. Of course, initially if we see like a newborn child, so whenever the child cries, the mother, though the mother may be a little bit away, so the mother will keep the child in the bedroom and she will go to the kitchen to cook. She will listen, like she will not be able to listen, like it will be far off. Something or music will be going on. Let's say Lalita, the mother is a spiritual person and the mother is a follower of Amma. Therefore, Lalita Sahasranama is running. Or Lalita Sahasranama MP3 or DVD is running. And therefore, the mother cannot listen to the child crying. But when the child cries, immediately the mother knows the child is crying and she goes. That is because the child has come out of the mother. That separation has not become really strong. So that bond is there initially. That's the reason why. And as the child grows up, we know. So we, if we look around, we can find people like parents who love their children. When the child, like the, when the child becomes grown up, 20 years, 30 years, then the mother or the parents say that, oh, they don't listen to what I say. They don't care about what I say. So that means that bond goes. So the love vanishes there. So the only relation that we can find in the entire world where this pure love or supreme love or two relations we can find in the entire world where this supreme love is satisfied. So one is from the relationship between a bhakta and Ishvara. And it's not a normal bhakta, it's a bhakta who has become mad in love with Ishvara. A bhakta who has become Ishvara. A bhakta who is no longer different from Ishvara. So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa gives a beautiful analogy for this. It's like a, Amma also gives it. So it's like a salt doll going to the ocean. The salt doll is like our ego. It's very limited. It has a limited name and form. And the salt doll somehow because of Punya Karma, the salt doll decides, okay, I want to know Ishvara. Who is Ishvara? Ishvara is the ocean. The ocean means, how is Ishvara the ocean? The Ishvara is like the ocean is salt infinite. So infinite salt is there in the ocean. So Ishvara is infinite. The seeker, the bhakta is limited. The salt doll goes to the ocean. It wants to find out what the ocean is. It tries to find out. When it finds out, it merges onto the ocean. The individuality is lost. It becomes one with the ocean. Similarly, a bhakta, in true devotion, a bhakta becomes one with Ishvara. And the other relationship that we can find in the world is the relationship between a guru and a shishya. So this, as per the shishya, as well as the guru's very nature, as per the shishya, guru is equal to Ishvara. And the guru is also abiding in Ishvara. Guru is Ishvara in a form, that's it. So guru is Ishvara, therefore the shishya, the more and more the shishya's guru bhakti grows, the shishya becomes one with the guru. That's why, like, when we have a mahatma, like when we have a mahatma as our guru, so the mahatma will not end unless or until we become a mahatma. So for a real, like if we look at Shankara's four disciples, four main disciples, we can understand this very easily. So Shankara was a great person. And his four disciples, each of the four disciples, Sureshwaracharya wrote the great work of Naishkarmi Siddhi as well as Vartikam on couple of Upanishads. Padmapada wrote the Panchapadika. Hastamalaka wrote the Hastamalakiyam. And Totakacharya wrote the Totakashtakam as well as few other works as well. So Shankara, the Guru Bhakti between Shankara, the Guru of Shankara and the Shishya, the four Shishyas, was real devotion, real love that the Shishyas became the Guru. So it's like Amma always gives the example of when the relationship between a Guru and Shishya, what happens there? The Guru is like a lamp. The Shishya has the potential to become a lamp. The Shishya has the oil, like it's like a small vessel or like whatever we call the oil is there, thread is there, everything is there, but it's not lit. So the Guru gives light onto or fire onto the Shishya and makes him a lamp. So the Guru creates gurus out of people. So this is very, it's a common concept, like even in worldly cases we can find that a true teacher is one who makes his disciples real teachers. So a real professor, a person who is abiding by truth, abiding by what he says, not eternal truth, but abiding by what he is teaching, such a person will be able to make others live the truth. So it's very easy to apprehend as well Amrita Swarupananda. So Amma is a, of course, there is no doubt about Amma being a great teacher. So from Amma, Amrita Swarupananda becomes like Amma. He is almost like Amma. There is no difference at all. Balakrishnan Nair, if we look at Balakrishnan Nair, there are many people who have followed him, even Chinmayananda and among few people, like they have become like Balakrishnan Nair, speaking like Balakrishnan Nair, sticking onto the Paramarthika Satyam, always abiding in the truth, whatever happens externally. So Guru Shishya Bandham, like we can find the true love or devotion, supreme love, as Narada says here, in Guru Shishya Bandham as well. So worldly love, whatever love we find in the world, that's all limited. There we are not different from the other person. Essentially two people are the same, but Nama Rupam wise both are different, and therefore it is attachment to Nama Rupam. So attachment to Ishvara. So we also learned that Amrita Swarupam Ishvara, or Bhakti is Amrita Swarupam. Amritam means there is only one thing that can give Amritam. That which is beyond Nama Rupam, that alone can give Amritam, because that alone is eternal. Nama Rupam, even as science says, energy is transformed from one object to another object, or one form to another form. Matter is something which changes form frequently. So it's just a name, a form, the name of bulb, the name of tube, and particular forms for it. Similarly, the same case here. So Amritam, eternality or immortality, can be achieved when a person goes beyond Nama Rupam, that is attachment to Ishvara, who is beyond Nama Rupam, that alone can give us eternal bliss, and that alone is supreme love. So supreme love, anytime we speak about devotion, whenever we hear the word bhakti, immediately we should remember, okay, bhakti, culmination of bhakti, or really bhakti, is that wherein a person becomes one with Ishvara. So how can I know whether I have become one with Ishvara? Quite simple. If Ishvara Chinta is there always in our mind, then we have become Ishvara. Of course, we can think only what we are. That's the reason why it is said that, like, for many years we contemplate on something, and thereby we think about that itself. When somebody asks, who are you? Immediately the answer comes, I am Hari Ram. How does it come? Because it has been like told to us from our beginning. So it's something, it's a vasana, it's something that has become so strong that we stick on to it. So, but that is not really true, because it is, we can change, people change name. Oh, today my name is Hari Ram, tomorrow it will be something else. Luckily today, husbands don't change their names. So wives, like women, have to change their name, so they become somebody else. And if you say A, like they'll say, no, I'm not that. Like my name got changed. Do you know that? My name got changed. So even name gets changed. So that's also not eternal. So there is only one thing which is eternal here, which is Ishvara. So supreme love is when we always think about it. And that is our very nature. That becomes our nature. So wherever we are, whatever we are doing, immediately we will be able to see, oh, everything is Ishvara. There is only Ishvara here. I can only see Ishvara here. And of course, Narada spoke about Bhakti's nature. So two things, Bhakti. When we say Bhakti, we should remember the two qualities that Narada gives here, or two attributes. One is, Bhakti is supreme love. Supreme love means what? Merging onto Ishvara. That means become Ishvara, which means Ishvara alone is there. The thought that Ishvara alone is there is always there. Oh, become Ishvara. How can I become Ishvara? Okay, becoming means it's just the mental thought. In the mind, everything is Ishvara. There is only Ishvara here. That thought always is there in our mind. So it is supreme love. And the second is immortality. So bhakti is something which is amritam. Amritam means, amritam can be interpreted as immortality, and that's the same as bliss or anandam as well. So we can take it either of those. So parama premam, supreme love, and amritam. Those are the two characteristics of bhakti. So which means, quite simple, a person who has these two characteristics, supreme love to Ishvara, which means Ishvara Chinta is always there in him, and Amritam means a person who has gone beyond all sorrow, a person who is ever blissful, that is a true Bhakta. Of course, you are now speaking about nature of Bhakti, but what will I get by becoming a Bhakta? Of course, it's simple. It's already being stated, Amritam. You'll get Amritam. But still, people want clear explanation about what will I get if I become a Bhakta. So that is what is the normal doubt which is being answered by Narada beautifully in the next three sutras, which we'll see quickly. So in the next three sutras, the phalam, or what will I get by becoming a Bhakta, in one word Narada has already said Amritam. So the next he is going to explain it a little bit. So that is what Narada is undertaking in the next three sutras, the phalam of being a Bhakta. So the very next sutra says, Yal labdhva puman siddho bhavati, amrito bhavati, tripto bhavati. So we don't need to remember each of these. So, but please remember that bhakti means parama premam amritam. That is enough. So yal labdhva, yat labdhva. After having attained this bhakti, puman, a person, siddho bhavati, he becomes siddha. So siddho bhavati means he becomes perfect. So siddhi means perfection. So siddho bhavati, he becomes perfect. Amrito bhavati, he becomes immortal. Tripto bhavati, he becomes content with life of satisfaction. So perfection, immortality and satisfaction, all these mean the same thing. Narada is giving different terms because from our perspective, like Namarupam is there, we can't directly cling on to the formless and the nameless. Therefore, we need empirical way of explanation for us to understand. Therefore, Narada gives three ways of perfection, immortality, satisfaction. All these are the same. When one is there, the other will be there. Only a person who is perfect can be satisfied. Because unless perfection is there, satisfaction will not be there. Unless satisfaction is there, there will not be immortality. Immortality means eternality. Person will not feel himself as eternal, as blissful, as done with life. That can happen only when satisfaction is there. So all three mean the same thing. So after having attained which, a person becomes blissful. So this is the same as knowledge. We know that jnanam and bhakti both are not different. Say bhakta, a true bhakta who has merged onto Ishvara, he, after having become a bhakta, he becomes blissful, always blissful, satisfied, content. If we can remember all these words, good. If we can't, still find it is a state where a person is feels that he is complete, he is done, always blissful. Of course, explanation has a positive way and a negative way. So realization means what? Shankara says two things. Dukkha nivratti and sukha prapti. Removal of sorrow and getting happiness. Rejoicing in bliss. So here Narada gives that a person will, after becoming a bhakta, a person will be blissful. So what he will not have? Narada says in the next sutra, yat prapya na kinchid vanchati, na shochati, na dveshti, na ramate, na utsahi bhavati. So these are words which come even in the 12th chapter of Gita. So yat prapya, after having attained this bhakti, na kinchid vanchati, a person doesn't want anything, vanchati, he doesn't want anything at all, na shochati, he doesn't become. So, we'll go through each word. So, na kinchit vanchati. He doesn't want anything at all. So, he doesn't want anything means, wanting itself means that I am not perfect. I am not complete. A person who is not satisfied will want more and more. So, wanting, of course, like the current day science as well as human or like HR people say that wanting is part of life, that it will always be there, wanting. But that's not the case. Wanting is not our nature. When we are in deep sleep, we don't want anything. And when a person becomes realized, aware of his very nature of perfection, completeness, when he becomes one with infinite Ishvara, then he is infinite. There is nothing more to want. So he is completely satisfied. So na kinchit vanchati. He doesn't want anything. Na shochati. He doesn't get sad because he is ever happy. If ever happy and ever content means, how can he get sad? Na dveshti, he doesn't get angry as well. Na ramate, he doesn't indulge in sensual pleasures, na utsahi bhavati, he doesn't get excited. So emotions, he is beyond emotions. So the basic point is, a person who realizes he is beyond emotions, emotions like sukha dukkham and all other emotions that are not there. So emotions, like, we always want to go beyond emotions. So a person wants to be with a partner, a person wants a good car, a person wants a good house. All those are just because emotionally he wants to be stable. So emotional stability will be there for a person who has realized, who has got this bhakti. A real bhakta will be always emotionally stable. So that doesn't mean externally he will react. He will not react. He may react. So externally, nakinchid vanchati. Oh, you don't want anything. Therefore, like, give me your laptop, give me your car, give me your house. So that is not what is meant here. Nakinchid vanchati means whatever comes, he will take. He will not let go. He will not, of his own accord, he will not just renounce things. But if the situation comes that he has to renounce, he will be happy. So he will not want anything, but if he gets something, he'll just use it. Oh, like, he won't want. So if you are a true, you are trying to be a true bhakta because you are learning Narada Bhakti Sutra, so give me your money. You don't want anything. If you don't want anything, why do you need money? Give me the money. So people might argue like that. So here, that is not what is meant. Here what is meant is that wanting means when a person really wants. That means if he doesn't get it, he becomes really angry, sad, all those comes. So here, whatever comes, normally whatever comes, he will accept it. And we also see Krishna doing adharmic activities in Mahabharata. We see that. So like, here it only means, like, what Narada is trying to tell here is just that he will not have any desires in his mind. His emotion, like his mental or his mind, will be stable. So externally he may demonstrate anger and all these symptoms, excited, all those, like, all those things will be demonstrated by such a person, but internally his mind will be stable, his mind will be content. So one is mental peace, mental happiness. That is what Narada said in the fourth sutra. Positive way of telling, and the negative way of or eliminating is, he will not have any mental instability. So both mean the same thing, like one and the same. One, when wherever one is there, another will not be there. Wherever sukham is there, dukkham will not be there automatically. So here it means that a person, like a bhakta, will be ever happy, satisfied, content, and he will not have any mental instability. He will not get emotional. He won't have emotions which arise out of discontent, which arises out of incompleteness, imperfection, etc. So that's this sutra. So positive way and negative way. And okay, that is fine. So you said about all this, like you said, the mental state. So in his mind will be blissful and without sorrow. So that's one simple way of putting. So mind will be blissful without sorrow. So mind will be ever steady without instability. The mind will be without emotions. Without emotions means ever happy. That is what is meant there. So, like, that's what is meant. And so there is one big question that comes up, which we have already discussed in brief just now. But the question comes up, oh, if that is the case, you are speaking about the mental state, he'll be happy. So siddho bhavati, amrito bhavati, tripto bhavati, that those are all expressions of the mind. That's the mental state. Similarly, na kinchid vanchati, na shochati, na dveshti, he will not get angry, he will not be excited, etc. Those are also mental state. But what about his external actions? So yajnatva matto bhavati, stabdho bhavati, atma aramo bhavati. So yajnatva, after knowing this truth, or after knowing Ishvara, which means becoming Ishvara, matto bhavati, he'll become like a mad person. Stabdho bhavati. So stabdham means he will become like very stable, we can say. Atma ramo bhavati. He becomes immersed, or he will be a person who will ever rejoice in the Atman. And these are like Atma ramo, etc. may be a mental emotion, but externally we can see these. So we will be able to see externally. So if we look at a real bhakta, you can find that mattaha, he'll be mad in love with Ishvara. So he'll be always talking about Ishvara. And stabdho bhavati, atma ramo bhavati, that's main point there. Atma ramaha, such a person, he is ever rejoicing in the Atman. So that bliss of the Atman will come out. Such a person will be ever rejoicing in the Atman. He will be ever abiding in bliss. So this can also be interpreted as Atma Ramo, can also be interpreted as he'll be always doing actions that are related to the Atman. So we cannot find a bhakta, a true bhakta, who doesn't speak about Ishvara. Of course, that is bhakti. Oh, I am a true bhakta, but in my mind, externally, I don't even speak about Ishvara. Can that happen? It can never happen. Whatever is in the mind has to come out, definitely. So, if we take the case of Janaka, who was a realized person, but still he did all other activities. He also instructed a lot of people, including Shuka. So there we find that though he was doing worldly actions, but still Atman, now speaking about Ishvara, will be there. So Atma Ramaha means rejoicing in the Atman, means ever trying to be in the Atman and trying to spread the bliss of the Atman. So a person who is rejoicing in the Atman, so he is like a lamp which is lit. So it's like a lamp which is glowing. So the switch is on, the lamp is switched on. Such a lamp will be spreading its light. Whether it wants or not, it will be spreading light. Any person nearby to the lamp can feel the light. Similarly, such a bhakta who is rejoicing in the Atman, he'll be spreading the bliss of the Atman. Anybody around the person can feel the spreading of the bliss of the Atman. So these are three sutras. In short, it's just one thing. Like, we can just understand it as just one. What is the fruit that you get? Like, ever blissful state without any dukkham and ever intoxicated in the Atman. So what else does a person need? So external activities also will be like that. There are rarely any person, as I said, there is not even rarely, there cannot be any person who is abiding in the Atman in his mind and externally doing other activities. It's not possible at all. So external activities also will be related to Ishvara, related to giving Anandam to everyone. So Anandam, that is one word, fruit of bhakti. So a bhakta will be ever blissful. And if we look at Mirabai's life, we can find it. Even when she finally became one with Ishvara, she was blissful. Became one with means like she met Ishvara, she was blissful. Even when her husband gave her poison, she was blissful. So bliss, that is the fruit that a bhakta really gets. And nothing can bind the bhakta, nothing can limit the bhakta. So worldly limitations don't apply to a bhakta. Of course, they apply at the external plane. But can it affect the mental state? No. So Ramana Maharshi did have tumor. So he had tumor. He had pain. Everything was there externally. Things were not solved for him. But still, since he was a true bhakta, internally he was ever blissful. And not that internal bliss, if it is he is internally blissful, that internal bliss has to spread out. Atma Ramaha, that internal bliss has to spread out. Therefore, people who came to see him even when he had tumor, they were able to get Anandam. So So external, like we cannot, we shouldn't ask the next day that, oh, you said that like a bhakta is beyond limitations, but I still have limitations. I still don't have a car. I still have a 5 feet body. I still have short hair. I still cannot sing it properly like Amrita Surupananda. So all those we shouldn't ask. External limitations will be there. But what external limitations are not the problem. It is our mental state that is the problem. Thousands of people die daily. Natural causes, unnatural causes as well. So people died due to many reasons, but still, tsunami, when tsunami hit, millions of people died, but we were not sad about people dying. But when somebody close to us dies, that is when the problem starts. So this means that problem is not in the external world. Problem is about our mental state. So external situation will remain the same, but a bhakta who has merged onto Ishvara is ever blissful. So his blissful state cannot be altered even little. So whatever happens, such a bhakta will be ever blissful. So when Ambariksha, so when Durvasa, Ambariksha's story, Durvasa sends across a Rakshasi to attack Ambariksha. Ambariksha doesn't move. When Vishnu took the form of Vamana in front of Mahabali's servants were ready to attack Mahabali. Immediately Mahabali said, "Don't hurt him." And Mahabali was, even at that time, like Mahabali was blissful. He was not affected, though he saw the big form of Vamana. Vamana has Mrityu in front of him, his own death, but still he was blissful. That is because for a bhakta, he has become one with blissful Ishvara. Therefore, bliss will be part of such a bhakta. Bliss cannot be separated from such a bhakta. So the fruit of bhakti is anandam. Maybe like we can extend a little bit. So bhakti is characterized by two things. One is parama premam or supreme love, and amritam, immortality, and bhakti, like a bhakta will be ever satisfied and without any emotions, and externally as well as internally he will be blissful. So this is a fruit. So the nature of bhakti and the fruit has been explained. So Narada will, in the next few sutras, Narada will be going into the details of bhakti's nature. In a way, like, how can I tell it? In a way, Narada will be trying to look a little deeper into the meaning of bhakti, into the nature of bhakti, though he has mentioned it in a concise way. He'll be explaining it in detail in the next few sutras, which we'll see in the next day. Namaskar.